Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pop Therapy. Welcome, Shireen.
The minute we do something, and now I'm so thrown off.
I know. I figured last week you threw me off, so now I'm returning the favor.
What did you say? Whoa. Step back.
Step way back.
Step away.
Don't step forward, step back.
Anyway, this week we have our closest thing to a guest on the pod. And that's my friend Tia, who can't even hear us
potting. And who you also will never be able to hear.
Well, she can hear me, but it's like that recording we had after the Super Bowl where it was just me talking and your audio was gone. But in person now.
That was a fail.
Yeah. Lots of hot tops.
Kind of. I mean, not really. But I'm excited to get into some of these show recaps. Your Kardashians, though.
Returning May 25th.
I didn't watch the thing.
I mean, it just says the same thing. Like, most dramatic season yet. You don't know us. Blah, blah, blah. Listen to how I'm talking about them now. It's crazy.
You hate them. You're a
hater. I don't hate. Don't say that. I'm not there yet. I will declare it once I am. No.
Okay.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. What would you say you are?
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I'm not ready.
Are you still following them all on Instagram?
I've only ever followed Kim.
Okay. Do you still check in on any of them?
No. Sometimes Kim shows up on my feed and my thumb hovers over that like button. Then I remember what she did with Balenciaga and everything else. But okay, I think they are losing their spark because no one even heard about this trailer coming out. I found out on TikTok and it was just a recap of what the trailer was. I didn't even go watch it.
I know. I saw it in like my Twitter. You know how they have those feeds now that is like for you, a for you Twitter feed?
No,
I actually love. So they've got like your following list and then they've got your other list or whatever. But then they've got like a for you page for Twitter, which is basically they feed you like all tweets that you think you'll like. Elon Musk. Yeah. Like mine is full of like Elon Musk.
You don't have a choice in that.
No, I love him. I worship him. It is. Just kidding. But anyways, it's actually awesome because it does feed me all the tweets that I want. I'm like, wow. Like I find out all these Evander and it picks up on what you're looking at too. Mm-hmm. So it's like TikTok, but for Twitter, and it's actually sick. So good job, Elon.
You're still like a Twitter stan, hey?
Well, it's just kind of where I'm getting my news. Like that is where I get all my news to start with. But also like when I'm watching shows, I like to go and look at what other people are saying about them.
That's why I use it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of funny memes on them. Like one week I looked at it, I sent you like 10 things on Twitter.
I was just gonna get to that. So sometimes I check Twitter because I'm like, oh, maybe I'll have a little surprise, that little one notification on my message inbox, and then I'll check it and there will either be no notification or there will be one and it's from my friend Kenny and I don't care. So no, but then there will be that one time last week where I get like 10 of them from you.
Yeah, during the Sandoval of it all, you got a lot because I thought they were so funny.
Mm-hmm. It's like me sending you Instagrams or TikToks.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So anyway, May 25th on Hulu/Disney+, probably 10 episodes. And it's the third season, so they signed like a 3-year deal, right? Does that mean three seasons or 3 years worth of content?
I think 3 seasons, I would guess.
Yeah, because it was for 300 mils, so I'm guessing each season was 100.
That's fucking crazy. Especially when it's not even that good a show. Like, they should be paying Vanderpump Rules that money, because that is what we care about.
I read somewhere that Kim Kardashian makes like $89,000 a second. And I was just like, 1 second and my student loans would be gone.
That's insane. Forgiven. That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Goals.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
from a monetary perspective, that's
goals. From a monetary perspective, for sure.
Okay. So I do have a few scandal updates.
Take it away.
Okay. So last week was the reunion filming. So Raquel confirmed via the Notes app, which she then posted to her story.
Via?
I say via.
I feel like we've had this debate before.
Probably.
It's via.
It's via. So via rail. Just kidding.
I was going to say via rail.
So she posted, for some reason, it's so stupid. Like, I think I saw it in Entertainment Tonight first confirming that she was going to show up. And then, like, immediately after she posted on her Instagram, I'm like, why are you still, like, trying to monetize this whole situation?
So
like,
bizarre. Just
so stupid. So she attended the reunion, but so did Sheena. So basically they had two different casting layouts depending on who was there at the time. But right before the reunion started filming, Raquel was so surprisingly caught outside of a random ass fucking nail salon looking like Dwight Schrute in by TMZ. And oh my God, like I had to recap the TMZ on its own because I was stunned. Like, she is ridiculous. So with respect to this whole Sheena altercation, nice. She says, well, Sheena knows what happened. I have a permanent scar on my eyebrow. So she's still asserting that this whole altercation happened, notwithstanding that the following day when she attends at the reunion, she hands Sheena papers. Basically, I think they're probably like withdrawal of the restraining order application, but they were unfiled. So Sheena's lawyer was like, these mean absolutely fucking nothing. And then right after the reunion, she withdraws the whole restraining order application. So stupid. And then they're asking her, how are you feeling about the reunion? And she says, oh, I have to take accountability and I'm prepared to do that. They asked if she apologized to Ariana. She said she talked to her on the phone and apologized to her, but Ariana didn't receive it well. And they asked how the Sandoval affair started. And she said it started off as a friendship and then it turned into something more. And she said she was genuinely interested in Schwartz and the kiss was not a cover up. Like, what? I'm starting to think.
Go on.
I think that she was trying to make I can't stop calling him Sandoval. Sandoval jealous is my new theory.
Wow. So you think she's a mastermind?
I think that she's like, she was perceiving that he's cheating on her by staying with Ariana. So she's like, fine, I'm going to fucking cheat on you with your best friend because you're cheating on me with mine in this like whole fucked up situation.
Okay. So see, this is why the girlies are coming out and saying, now we have something to call this gut feeling theory that girls have in relationships about other girls like Hailey Bieber. When they like ship your relationship and are like, your girlfriend's so pretty, I love her, oh my God, you guys are so cute together. And you always want to be like, I don't trust that girl. I don't like that you're friends with her. And then they end up with your man.
Yeah, they cannot be trusted. And I've never had that.
The men can't either.
No, that's true. Can't trust anybody. No. But I've never had that feeling about one of my friends. Like, but if you do, like, run for the hills. That's a bad friend and that's a bad boyfriend.
Step back.
Step away back. Okay, so then the interview goes on and she says that she doesn't know where her relation with Sandoval is going to be, like what they're going to be. She just says like, we're trying to get through these next few steps and then hear everyone out and then we'll see where it goes. We're not going to label anything. And then she says that Schwartz didn't know. And the rumor about her having a threesome with Ariana and Tom was not true. But this whole interview, like, she's, like, giggly, laughing, smiling, being fucking, like,
so yeah. She's on coke.
I think she's just a nut job. Like, I just think she's gotten herself so twisted up in this whole situation. And she's making the weirdest decisions. Like, why are you calling TMZ to go have an interview with you when you're about to get interviewed by the reunion? Like, she's centering herself so much in this entire drama.
It kind of reminds me of, was it Christina on Selling Sunset where there was a villain? Like, someone has to be the villain.
Yeah.
And they're like happy to play the role. But the thing is, like, is Raquel smart? I don't know. Maybe this whole time she's been smarter than all of us.
I don't know, man. When I've been watching like old clips of the show, like she literally does look like there's nothing happening upstairs.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. So they filmed the reunion, and apparently there was like a heated altercation between two of the cast members, and they're saying like it's people that you wouldn't suspect.
I'm thinking Schwartz.
Well, then Jax, he loves this whole drama.
Of course, he wants to be capitalizing on it.
Yeah, so he's interviewed on a red carpet for something, and he says, oh, I think it's the two boys. Actually, I know it's the two boys because I talked to one of them.
Oh, God.
But
he's not even trying.
Yeah, but then I saw that someone like posted that on Instagram or Twitter or something, and Katie Maloney responded, LOL. So Katie. That makes me think that that wasn't the two guys. I was like, was it Lisa? Throwing hands?
Apparently Lisa gets pretty heated too.
Well, good. She should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom, most recently of today, was also interviewed by TMZ. But there was like a 3.5 minute interview where like he said literally nothing. Like all this
Is with TMZ catching all of this?
I don't know. This one at least looked like Tom like didn't call him. Like they caught him outside his like band practicing thing, and he was like packing up his vehicle after a band practice. But oh my gosh, like this TMZ person who was interviewing him literally had like zero brain cells. He like, they're just so stupid. They don't ask educated questions. So he kept on asking him like, do you regret it? Do you regret cheating? And Sandoval was like, well, you know, hindsight's 2020. And the TMZ guy's like, oh yeah, so you're just like looking towards the future and like gonna see where things come from this. And he's like, yeah. And then he asks him a different question, and Tom repeats like 2020. And he says another stupid comment like that. And at the end of the video, Tom's like, you do know what hindsight is, right?
Oh,
like
it's God, when you're so embarrassing.
When you're looking in the past and assessing your actions and figure out how to move forward. He's like, oh no, I thought you were talking about like looking towards the future.
Jesus Christ.
It's hindsight, bro.
I was going to say, TMZ, like, apart from, like, reporting on Kobe's death, rest in peace, which was so uncalled for, they are the people that you call as a celebrity. So, like, yeah. All these TMZ interviews with Raquel and Tom, like, they were called by Raquel and Tom.
Yeah. But I don't know, because Tom didn't really say anything. Like, he literally said no comment for pretty much the entire interview. And the only thing of substance that he said was in this, like, back and forth defining hindsight, where he said, like, of course I wish I did things differently. Hindsight's 2020. But, like, yeah. Godoy, of course you do.
But I feel like he kind of just wants to be seen and in the spotlight no matter what. So,
yeah, that's true.
And wasn't it, like, outside of his shitty band practice that he pays for?
Yeah. It was.
So embarrassing.
So in other Vanderpump news, Jax and Brittany have a new podcast, quote, When Reality Hits. I will not be listening.
I can't listen to Jax speak.
I especially can't listen to Jax speak while Brittany's beside him because, man, this interview that I watched on the red carpet, Jax was like running his mouth, like talking a mile a minute, like wanted to get in all his thoughts. And Brittany's just standing there being like, oh, you're going in. You're going in. It's like, oh my God.
Rotten hail.
I can't. Like,
do you remember that?
Yeah. And it just seems like they're in two different pages. Like, Jax will be saying all these things and like he'll be like, yeah, I had this conversation. I knew that. And then Brittany looks at him like, you did? Like,
did you
see this is news to me.
Watch What Happens Live. I think Andy was saying like they're the most stable couple or something like that. And Brittany kind of just looked like, am I in the Twilight Zone? And Jax was like, yeah. Oh
my God. Yeah. They have not changed. Like, and I'm not interested. I don't want them back on my screen. Like, I literally have no interest in those two.
A tiger doesn't change its stripes.
No, not interested.
Well, in some Real Housewives news, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kim Richards was spotted filming a scene with Dorit and Kyle, which I'm excited about.
See, I'm not. Like, I don't get the Kim Richards
because you
hype.
Never committed to the first four seasons. First
but
five.
I did. But I did remember. I do remember watching that limo scene. Like, I did watch that one season where Kim was, like, quite unhinged.
But that was season one, right?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Dude, season 2, 3, and 4 were the best. And season 5.
what's so good about her? Like, why do people like her? Like, what does she bring? No one
ever stood up for her, and they always gaslighted her. They used her addiction against her. And she was the only person who would ever stand up to shitty people like Lisa Rinna. Or who else was it? Anyway, she was the only one who would say something.
Now we have, though, like Garcelle and Crystal and Sutton. I feel like they're getting there. Like, I'd rather just have them play that role. And plus, Lisa's not even on the show anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you don't understand the Kim Richards thing unless you actually watched her. Because then you have a soft spot for her.
Yeah.
But they also caught them filming with Denise and Camille.
Yeah. So then I've heard all these rumblings that people are saying, like, obviously this season sucks if they're having all these cameos from Past Housewives.
And Larsa and Cynthia. Like, what?
Yeah, that's weird.
It's very
too many people in the mix. But without Lisa, like, Lisa truly did bring a lot of the drama.
Yeah, did you see she recently was asked how she feels? And she's like, amazing, wonderful.
Of course.
I've been living such a great life without it.
Like, okay, sure.
We know you're going to be tuning in every week to our podcast.
Okay, so the Bachelor finale was on last night.
Oh, my God.
It's over. I watched the whole thing.
Wow.
I did fast forward through a lot of last night because I didn't really care, but it's just so perplexing. Like, he ended up proposing to this one chick. They're still together. Okay, great. But the bachelorette choice is still just perplexing me because the two people that he didn't choose, they're so well spoken. They are funny. They're beautiful. They're charming. They're like, they went through like immense heartbreak, like definitely more heartbreak than the bachelor that they chose. And it's like, where's the redemption story for these like runner ups? I just feel like I would have preferred one of the other two.
I'm looking at Bachelor ABC on Instagram right now to see who won.
Katie from Canada.
No way.
Yeah.
So do we like her?
No, I really like her. They were all great. Like, the final three were all great. She's really sweet. But, like, there was nothing against her. And, like, honestly, I just feel like they're all too good for Zach. He was doing an interview, like, a newlywed type game. And he kept on calling her his chica.
Oh,
and if that doesn't give you the ick. Oh, man. Remember that TikTok?
You send me a TikTok of, like, a minute straight of getting the ick from Zach. That was unbearable. I don't know how you watched an entire season.
I know. Like, stunning. And that was only, like, a piece of it. Like, that wasn't even all the moments that he gave you the ick.
It's like, no.
It's just, I think they're doing this, like, it's a test. Like, how many people can we lose from Bachelor Nation? We all want to go home and retire. Like, we're done with the show. We'll just keep picking shitty people and eventually it'll go away.
There's a better way to do this. Talk about needing to go to therapy. Like, just directly communicate your needs.
Yeah.
Wow. But, well, congrats. You got through that.
I really did. It was really nice not having to talk about this season because it was so fucking brutal. Like,
yeah. I don't know if I'm going to tune into Bachelorette either.
I know. I will, because obviously I never don't.
Yeah, you always say you're not going to watch something, like, even Love is Blind 3, and now Love is Blind 4.
But here I am.
And even Love is Blind After the Altar, here you are.
I am a sucker for TV. If there's nothing on, I will watch almost anything that you put in front of me that's reality-based. So, yeah.
Well, do I have a reality update for you?
I know. I feel like this was big, groundbreaking news in
this
your world.
This was huge. Woke up Friday morning and Selena Gomez had just posted a story. And it says, Hailey Bieber reached out to me and let me know that she has been receiving death threats and such hateful negativity. This isn't what I stand for. No one should have to experience hate or bullying. I've always advocated for kindness and really want this all to stop. And I swear to God, in real time, I watched her following count go up one. I was there while she followed Hailey Bieber.
Where were you when?
In my bed. But yeah, so she followed Hailey Bieber. And I'm just like, come on, Selena. Like, that's a bit much. And then Hailey Bieber finally said something. And it's actually so stupid. No accountability whatsoever. No apologies. I just hate her. So she said, I want to thank Selena for speaking out, as her and I have been discussing the last few weeks how to move past this ongoing narrative between her and I. Really awkward sentence, first of all. The last few weeks have been very hard for everyone involved, and millions of people are seeing so much hate around this, which is extremely harmful. While social media is an incredible way to connect and build community, blah, 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 things can always be taken out of context or construed differently than they were intended. This is like an ounce of accountability. We all need to be more thoughtful about what we post and what we say, including myself. In the end, I believe love will always be bigger than hate and negativity. Bitch, shut up. You're the one who started this whole thing.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that, Hailey? What about all the death threats that your fans send Selena? Or Justin's fans send Selena? What about those? What about your shitty ass friends blatantly putting her down? So I also have to say, I think Selena's move was manipulative and definitely a power move, and I'm here for it. She had to say something, because listen, I was watching it. I think I stopped sending you the Selena Hailey Bieber TikToks. Maybe I sent you this one. It was like a theory of the PR behind it. Hailey Bieber reaches out to Selena, because obviously she can't reach out to her stupid, useless husband. She reaches out to the ex-girlfriend that's got a chokehold on her. I've been there. Anyway, she reaches out to Selena. And if Selena had never acknowledged it or said anything, then Selena would have been spun out to be the antagonist.
For sure.
So, but since then, Selena posts a picture and it's her in a bikini with her blonde hair, and that's the first thing Hailey Bieber sees. And then Hailey liked the post, and then Hailey posts two pictures and Selena never liked them. I'm pretty sure
I'm done here.
Well, I'm pretty sure she just followed her and then just muted Hailey. I would have done the same thing. But that's so awkward. Imagine like following your ex and seeing, sorry, your ex's wife and seeing pictures of them together on your feed. What?
Like, yeah. You know, I wish I could comment more, because this whole thing is just so perplexing to me, because I don't, to me, in my mind, her and Justin dated so young. It's like a high school relationship. It's like, who cares? Like,
well, I'm sure they feel like that. I'm sure Selena and Justin feel like that. But, you know, I don't. Anyway, so they're following each other.
Plus, are Hailey and Justin even ever together? I'm looking at her fucking Instagram, and I see one picture of Justin in entire thing.
So Hailey, like I said, her team runs Justin Bieber's social media, and Hailey's trying to break away from this image of being Justin Bieber's wife. She wants to be Hailey Baldwin with her own skincare line, whatever. So she posts herself, but then her team posts the pictures of them on Justin's account to show how into Hailey he is.
No. Okay.
But Justin never likes any of her posts.
Oh my god. These people are idiots.
No, for sure. They're stupid.
Yeah, that is true. There's a lot more of Hailey and Justin on. Wow, it's like all pretty much Hailey and Justin. The first like, yeah. Five.
Also, it's rumored that Selena and Zayn Malik from One Direction might be dating. I think I brought this up last week. But they were sort of spotted in New York making out and at a restaurant together.
Do you believe it?
I don't know, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I think it would just be like Justin 2.0.
yeah, I mean, Zayn doesn't seem like the stand-up guy.
No.
Yeah, I think she can do better.
Yeah, but Selena released new lip oil products today.
Do you have any of her makeup?
Yes, I love her blush. It's actually the best blush ever, and I felt this way before this whole thing happened. But her lip oil treatment was released today, and they're all sold out.
Wow.
And that's that on that.
Well,
any questions?
I mean, lots, but
please, only,
they'll be annoying for people who don't, who know what's going on. I just think it's all so, so stupid. Like, I honestly do. Like, I don't understand the background. So I don't want to like yuck someone's yum, because like, I know how you feel, because you feel the way I feel about Scandoval. And if somebody else was like, that's so stupid, I'd be like, excuse you. So yeah. I get it. I just don't get it, you know? I get the hype, but I don't get the hype.
You're so old. Okay. I know. So Barbara Palvin, Victoria's Secret Angel, is engaged to Dylan Sprouse, the Sprouse brother that we like.
Yeah, he's way cuter.
He's cuter. He was better on Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, and he's not a dick.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Yeah. Mazel tov.
They've been together for 5 years, which I think is like 20 years in Hollywood, especially at their age.
At their age, yeah, they're pretty young.
And they're engaged.
Congrats to them. They looked cute together.
Woo. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Harry and Emrata were caught making out in Tokyo. Like,
isn't it crazy that like she's just known as Emrata, but her name is Emily?
Yeah. Yeah.
Radakowski?
Emrata. And their makeup was very like,
it was weird, man.
Yeah, like it was almost like they were eating each other's face.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
And just a week before something like that, Olivia Wilde was right next to her at Harry's concert in Paris.
Right. So I was listening to something today. I don't know what it was. Must have been a podcast. So I was saying something about how, maybe I was reading it on Twitter. Anyways, that Emrata was like upset that she'd upset Olivia, and Olivia's more upset about Emrata for like dating, because they were friends, for like making out with her ex. So like relatively soon after they broke up. It is weird, but it's also like, are they that good of friends? I don't know.
I don't know, right? According to Tia, Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis are like kind of getting back together.
Are they?
I don't know.
I did see they were having like more amicable co-parenting. But
well, that's always good for the kids.
Maybe she just needed like a hot, sexy fling with Harry Styles to bring her back down to like steady Eddie Jason Sudeikis.
Is he steady? Wasn't he batshit crazy?
Well, I think he was upset about her cheating on him. Or
she cheated?
Well, wasn't there like, remember that during that Don't Worry Darling movie where she was like bringing Harry Styles salads to set?
I didn't know they were still together at that point.
Well, they were still living together. So maybe they had broken up and still living together. But I could see how he was upset that like there was no break, I don't think, between them splitting up and her getting with Harry. So maybe there's no overlap, but there also wasn't like a break.
Yeah.
So I could see why he was upset about that, and like laying down in the driveway in front of the vehicle. That's kind of hilarious.
Well, it's not very Ted Lasso of him. Not very live, laugh, love.
Fair enough. Okay. So also, we were talking about this in the weekend. I just wanted to touch on it. This Gwyneth Paltrow ski accident trial.
This is the whitest problem I've ever seen.
It's just the whole thing. It's so infuriating to watch, though. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow, her vibe is very much, like, on the stand, is very much like, this is so stupid. And, like, she's kind of being patronizing, and she's being kind of, like, smirking the whole time. Like, you know, which is comes across really, like, off-putting. Mm-hmm. But I also get it. Like, if you literally did nothing wrong and this guy's suing you, I get why you'd be like, this is so annoying that I even have to deal with this, but it's just not good vibes. And then the stupid fucking counsel for the plaintiff is so annoying. Like, she's really trying. She's so bad.
She's
like,
trying to be the next Camilla.
Or Camille. She's, yeah, and like, she's trying to act all friendly and trying to be like manipulative to be like chummy with the witness. The witness will be like, fall into her trap and give her answers, but Gwyneth's not stupid. Like, nobody's falling for this. You guys are never gonna be friends outside, so like, this isn't gonna work, girl.
No, agreed. The whole Gwyneth coming across as very off-putting, it really doesn't help the rumors and perceptions that go around about her that are like describe exactly that. So she's not helping herself.
No, I agree. And I get that it's annoying and you think you're above it all and like being dragged into this is so stupid. But like, you also need to try to win, because what if you lose? Then you look even more stupid.
But is it a civil case or criminal?
It's civil, but...
So who cares?
Yeah, she'll just have to pay him money. But I just think that would look stupid.
Yeah, like, I guess.
Like if she took this all the way and then they actually thought she wasn't being credible.
Yeah. One goop candle and he'll be set.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, lastly, crazy. 2 days ago, I was wondering about Made in Chelsea and I was like, oh, that show just kind of ended out of nowhere. I wonder like when it's coming back, whatever. I opened my TV. That's so stupid. I turn my TV on and I see new season of Made in Chelsea came out yesterday. So this is season 25.
Wow.
But Olivia is no longer on it. It's like Miles, who was recently in Toronto, and it's just like, excuse me. It's kind of rude that you didn't tell me.
He sent me all those TikToks. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? Like, I'm like looking through. There's like three or four of this. And then I clued in once I started looking through the comments and stuff that this was when you're a Made of Chelsea boys.
He was literally a kilometer away. And look, Miles is absolutely toxic and not someone to date. But who said we have to date? Like, you're in Toronto for like, what, 3 days? That's fine.
Show them around.
Yeah.
Different areas.
Around. Yeah, I can show them my workplace, you know. Cops, donuts. Yeah, kind of rude, Miles, if you're listening.
Now he knows. Okay, yeah. Let's get into Pitch or Ditch a Bitch or 7 Year Itch, because we have a mutual one. Love is Blind, and I want to chat.
I was so excited for Friday night. I got into bed at 7 p.m. and binged all of these episodes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. I think I watched them over like a couple days over the weekend.
Watched it straight.
The show is so slow. The show is so stupid.
Ugh. You'd be like, oh, kind of reminds me of you.
I get so frustrated when he criticizes my show. I'll immediately like turn it off and throw him the remote and be like, fine, you find something. And then he'll say to me, no, I don't have anything to watch. Classic. And then it's like, then don't criticize what I put on the TV, because you're just going to be on your phone anyways.
You guys sound like you've been married for 30 years.
It's coming up. Yeah.
Sorry, did I miss a chapter?
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. So. Do you want to talk couple by couple?
Yeah.
Okay. Least favorite to most favorite?
Oh, that's tough. They're all my least favorite.
Really? Wow.
Least? Okay, no. Obviously, Tammy. What's her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. No. Tiffany and Brett are like the Lauren and Cameron.
Yeah.
There's always one Lauren and Cameron. Lauren and Cameron. You know what I mean?
The other seasons, I feel like no one even came close to like being even like a potential match. Like
Alexa,
this one is definitely the close. Oh yeah, but still, like, really, did we
that's
really
what I'm
think
saying. Like, everyone tries to be Lauren and Cameron, but there's really no Lauren and Cameron.
Yeah, but I'd say out of all the seasons, I'd say out of all of the seasons, this is the closest that they've gotten, though. At least from what we've seen so far.
I still don't think they're gonna last, though.
Okay, why not?
Let's talk about
why not?
I just think like they both feel as though their situations are so similar and they're kind of tired of looking, and they just click. So they're like, yeah, let's do this damn thing. But I don't think there's much there.
Yeah, it's hard to see because they have like no toxicity of like, where's the spark? Because you don't really see it. Like, they're just so steady Eddie that it's like boring, and you think like, well, what do they even see in each other? I think that just means they're like in a very secure partnership. I think they're both like mutually excited to be with each other. Brett is like so cool. Like, I think he's got the coolest job, like designing shoes. He's got a great story. He's so calm, cool, and collected, and like hyping her up, and so like, yeah, of course I'm happy that it's refreshing.
I mean, we saw this last season with SK and Raven.
Did we, though?
SK was hyping Raven up. They seemed secure. He was patient.
Yeah. But she wasn't really into it. Like, I don't think we've seen the mutuality of this.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Like, Tiffany also seems very, like, secure, confident.
Yeah, like, I'm rooting for them. But I don't know if we're ever going to get a Lauren and Cameron again.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because this would be the closest we can ever get. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of boring, though. So, like, let's not talk about them. Let's talk about the shittiest people on the TV.
Okay, so Micah and Irina.
Yeah.
And Kwame.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk first about Irina and Zach. So this whole pod experience, like, he was torn between Bliss and Irina, and then Bliss was like, Irina's a really shitty person, and if you choose her, I'm going to judge you for your judgment. And then he's like, don't tell me who I should like, and then chooses Irina anyways. And I don't understand that.
Well, I think that this must have been a producer thing, because they needed Irina to come for the drums.
Yeah, you could be right on that. I don't know how produced this show is, but that would make sense.
But because Zach does meet up with Bliss.
Yeah, but I feel like the minute she sees him, she's going to be like, no, thanks. I dodged a bullet.
Ick.
Because, okay, he's going back and forth, ultimately picks Irina. And then when they get to meeting, like, they have absolutely no chemistry. Irina's immediately like, can we sit down? And then they sit down, and Zach keeps on, like, looking at her, like, with his his face, like, kind of tilted down, and his eyes just, like, staring into her soul. And I get it when she was like, can you please, like, blink or stop looking at me like that?
Mm-hmm.
He was looking, like, hella
totally. It was
weird.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, I felt uncomfortable too. So I related to her in that moment.
For sure. And then she pulls out you look like a cartoon character. Like, I can see what she's saying, though.
I know.
But great first meeting.
Yeah.
For us. For TV.
Yeah. And then they get down to, so they get down into Mexico, and she's definitely not into him. Like, they're not being intimate. He, like, kissed her on the forehead once, and that was too much. And
she's using his stuffed bunny Ralph to create a barrier between them.
Yeah. Like, the writing's on the wall that they hate each other. And then for some reason, when they go to the pool party, she's all of a sudden, like, into Paul. Like, where did that come from?
By the way, I don't know if you checked TikTok before you came on this podcast, but I sent you a clip of Paul. Literally, the producers did not let anyone off the hook this season with their editing. He, like, rubs his junk and then smells his fingers.
Ew!
On camera.
Ew.
It's disgusting.
That's gross.
He's giving me Cole vibes.
Okay, yeah. So let's talk about Paul and Micah. So,
aw, Wizzy.
He's being annoying because he's hungry. So Micah and Irina are basically in the house being mean girls. Like, they're shit-talking everybody. They're joking behind their back. They're listening in on their conversations. They're mocking them. They're clearly just trying to, like, win, as opposed to make connections.
And they're just two people who peaked in high school.
100%.
Maybe.
Yeah. And, like, Micah was torn between Kwame and Paul, and then ultimately broke up with Kwame. But I feel like that's because she was competing with, what was that other girl's name? Alana?
Yeah, it was definitely an A.
Yeah, I feel like she only picked Paul because she was in a more heated competition in her eyes 100%. Than she was with Kwame, because Kwame wanted her over Chelsea.
Yeah.
And she just wanted to, like, win the guy.
100%. I can't stand them both. When Zach said to Irina, I know I'm bringing it back to Irina, that she looks like Megan Fox, I was like, bitch, where?
Yeah, what?
Her hair, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
But anyways, yeah. So Micah is with Paul, and we see that Irina is sort of crushing on Paul.
Yeah, and the Micah-Paul relationship, I just don't see a connection there, like an actual connection. No. I think Micah's trying to, like, convince herself in her mind that she's into him, but I don't think she is at all.
No, she's absolutely not into him. And but now that Irina wants him. she's going to want him.
For sure. And then when they're at the pool, oh my God, when she was having that conversation, Micah, with Kwame.
So disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
Chelsea's level of chill was something I will never have.
Could never be me. Could never be me.
Could never be me.
Like, they were getting, like, the conversation was lasting so long. They kept on, like, going back and forth, and they kept on getting so much closer together, like, touching each other's leg, holding each other's hands.
Kwame was getting so hurt by things that Micah was saying. Like, why are you so mad? Why does she affect you so much?
I do kind of understand why he was upset about her comment, like, failed engagement or failed proposal, because that's pretty mean. That's, like, pretty mean-spirited. But the rest of it, for it to go on that long, like, he clearly just wanted her to say that, like, she was into him or that she, whatever. Like, they just, and I don't understand why she was into him either. Like, Kwame, I don't understand the hype.
No, there is no hype. There's no hype. He has no fans on Twitter.
Yeah, and that brings us to Kwame and Chelsea. Like, Chelsea was ride or die for Kwame the entire time, which then put Kwame off because he wanted Micah, who, like, was waffling again. Like, people just want, like, reassurance through winning as opposed to, like, actually finding a meaningful connection.
This is what I think is going to happen. So Irina tells Micah that she kind of likes Paul, which makes Micah want Paul now. So Micah starts investing in Paul, which makes Kwame jealous, and this is how it all erupts. Kwame's gonna, like, try to pursue her, and it's all gonna come out.
It definitely does seem like Kwame and Chelsea are just definitely not a match. Like, they're having a lot of sex. Great for them. But it's just not it.
No, it's not it at all.
And then Marshall and Jackie.
Jackie. Weird.
I think Marshall's great.
No, I like Marshall. I think the pairing is weird.
Yes. Somewhat. I just don't know how to figure them out. Like, I think that is exactly. It. Like, it's just, like, kind of weird. But weird. I think Marshall is exactly what Jackie needs. Mm-hmm. And Jackie is not what Marshall needs.
Marshall is literally if Jesse from Grey's Anatomy and Will Smith had a kid. Am I wrong?
Like, who's Jesse? The son of the doctor, the son of the, what the fuck Avery. Is his name?
Jackson Avery.
You just combine the two.
Jackson Avery.
Yeah, he is. I think he's very attractive.
Jesse Williams.
There you go.
No, he looks like Bow Wow.
He's hot. Like, his eyes are like such an incredible color of brown. I've never seen more beautiful color of brown eyes.
Really? You've never seen Bow Wow's eyes?
No. To look it up. But he's just so emotionally intelligent. Jesus Christ.
And you are not.
No. He's just so intelligent. He's calm. He's not reactive. Like, holy shit, the least reactive person on this TV show. Like, Jackie was getting all fired up. She was upset. He was, like, pushing through her emotions to just, like, support her and be there for her, not getting in his own feelings about it, not taking it personally. He was just, like, there for her.
I don't see any red flags yet.
No red flags. And he's also got swag. Like,
yeah.
Yes, he's very sensitive and very supportive, but he's also cool. Like,
yeah, he carries himself secure. Well.
So, like, he is, that's the kind of man that you need. Yeah.
What is that quote from Dr. Phil? That's your man.
Are you sure you want to be with him? Look at your man.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I think. I think. I don't know anymore.
You were so confident, and then you're like, wait.
I don't know.
Yeah. Jackie, I just wonder, it must be something very serious at home, because they keep on referring to, like, her problems at home, but not ever saying what it is.
So there was an article today that released some insight into it, like a source, whatever. Her dad has cancer and lives away from her. So she works and goes home every weekend to look after him and pays all the bills. And so she's looking after her entire family.
Wow. That's intense.
apparently.
I could see that, why that's really heavy for her, and like why she'd be like going through it being away for that long. Like maybe she's just sad and worried.
Guilt. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do hope that they make it. Like in my mind, mm-hmm. they're like the second strongest couple behind Brett and Tiffany.
Yeah, I think if anything, like they'll have a long relationship, maybe not get married, but
yeah. I really liked that Alana. I think her name was Alana. I really liked her. Like I wish Zach chose her, because I feel like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish Paul chose her, because I feel like they would have been a better match.
All the men except for Marshall and Brett suck.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, but you know what? I think that if Zach had chosen Bliss, he would have come across in a totally different light.
Yeah.
Like, fair. I think she truly would have made him a better, more level-headed, more normal version, because she would have been giving more to him and making him not look so weird juxtaposed next to Irina, who's being just a cold-hearted.
I really appreciated Irina and Zach's candid conversation. That was
so good.
It was so awkward and good.
It was so funny. It was like the minute that they were like, we're not going to be together, oh, all their walls came down. They became their like true selves.
Then they just kept taking digs at each other. It was getting kind of uncomfortable.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Like, what was she saying? I don't know. They're like, oh, you regretted it? Like, you wish you chose Bliss? He's like, of course I do. Like, mm-hmm. of course I wish I chose her.
And then she said something like, I wish I never met you, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
They just kept one-upping each other.
Oh, God. That was so funny. All while they were just, like, brushing their teeth and, cleaning their face. Like, just a casual, serious, crazy conversation while they're doing normal things.
Yeah. But I'm not liking this whole release 4 episodes a week thing. Like,
just isn't that what they always do?
No, not for the first season, not for the second season. It's literally just last year.
Okay. Yeah, it is annoying. Because I kind of, like, get really into it and then I get out of it.
Yeah.
And then I have to, like, get back into it.
Yeah, so the next 4 get released this Friday.
Okay. I am excited.
This is when they go live with each other for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I wonder what's going to happen with Zach and Bliss. Like, I feel like... Mm-hmm. They're not, like, especially when he was wearing that ugly ass suit. Like, why are you wearing a suit to meet up for the first time with Bliss? Like, you look like an idiot.
Well, I think it will go somewhere, because there's still so much show left.
Yeah. Has anyone ever broken up at that point? Like, dropped out of the whole thing?
Diamond and...
Oh, yeah. They broke up in Mexico, didn't they?
Yeah, when he tossed the ring into the pool.
Yeah. So I feel like they could just not follow them anymore.
I guess, yeah. But they'll definitely be on the reunion.
Yeah. So I saw that Micah gave an interview saying that a lot of her and Irina's mean girling was just them trying to add levity to what was like a very serious situation, and them trying to like joke as their coping mechanism.
No.
I don't buy it.
I think that these two thought they were going to be on Too Hot to Handle, and then producers were like, jokes. And push them into Love is Blind. And they just want screen time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. They just want to be famous.
Hey,
they're like, any press is good press.
It's a pitch.
It's definitely a pitch. Yeah, I'm into it. I like this season much better than the last one.
Yeah. Okay, I will leave my other pitch for next week.
Good idea. Because I don't think I'll have another one. Okay, should we talk about Vanderpump Rules or Summer House?
Yeah, let's start with Vanderpump.
Okay, so they start off at Boys' Night, and Raquel is recounting the story of her standing up to Lala, and Tom is literally hanging on her every word, and Raquel's coming across as if she, like, yeah, I told her. Meanwhile, like, when you look back at the clip, it's like, you weren't being boss at all.
Yeah.
And Schwartz is cheering on, like, yeah, good for you standing up to Lala.
He's like, it's kind of hot.
I know. Like, if only you could have seen how meek and mild she looked like in that entire conversation.
Yeah.
So then we flip back to the girls' trip in Havasu, and the girls are out at a bar, and they're like, Lala sees a guy that she likes, and takes him back to their place. And Katie and Christina are like cheering her on to have sex. And it's just so weird and awkward.
It's so weird.
Like, they're so weird. So weird. Like, they're flirting on the couch right next to the other girls. And like, this man was not hot.
No, not at all. Can confirm.
But he says, he gives the line. She's like, oh, you're making me nervous. And he says, don't get nervous when you about to get serviced.
Yeah. I saw Katie and Christina laugh at that, thankfully.
Like, oh my God. That would send me right to the ick.
It worked on her.
Yeah, because then she's recapping their sex and she says that the bed is so wet she had to sleep somewhere else.
Yeah, but Lala is just dramatic.
I know. Yeah, I agree.
And you know she's like kind of saying it because Randall might be watching.
Yeah, no, for sure. So then, go ahead.
No, go for it.
So then we get cut to Raquel talking to James at Sir, and she mentions that Tom Sandoval told her that James was going to be invited to a pool party. Eyes emoji. Mm-hmm. It's also strange how, like, I know that there's two Toms, but she always refers to him as Tom Sandoval. Instead of just, like, Tom or Sandoval, it's always Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, because I guess the other one is Schwartz. So if you just say Tom, they might both respond.
Right, but she could just say Sandoval. Like, she always says Tom, yeah, Sandoval.
True. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyways, then they go to Ariana's pool party. And the girls are talking by the bar. And then Raquel comes by and she's like, are you guys talking about me? And they're like, yeah, do you want to be in the conversation? She's like, well, yeah. And then...
Well, that was really good.
Thanks.
That was really good.
But this whole conversation was just... Okay, so Lala was being mean. But Tom, the way Tom was standing up so hard for Raquel in this moment was just like, bro, you should relax. Well,
hindsight is 20/20.
So yeah, so you're looking into the future. Yeah. But... He was right, though, when he was saying that, look, Lala, you're telling her to get over this whole James thing. You knew it happened 6 years ago. Literally, she just found out about it 2 weeks.
That's what I was saying last week.
Yeah. So he's actually in the right.
Yeah. But I want to talk about when. Wait, who said the emotional entitlement thing? Sandoval said it to Ariana.
I thought it was Tom Schwartz that said it to Katie about the hotel thing.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Which we'll get to in 1 second. Mm-hmm. So Raquel's talking, like, standing up for herself, but literally when I was watching it, I was like, this is like a really bad actress who's playing the role of strong girl.
100%. I agree with that.
She's just like play acting a strong person because she's not coming across forcefully at all. Again,
I just never know how anything is gonna come out of her mouth.
I know.
Like, is it going to sound powerful? Is it going to sound confident? Or is it going to sound like Raquel?
She was quaking. She's always quaking when she talks to the girls. But when she was recounting the conversation to Tom Sandoval and like at boys' night, her voice was crystal clear. She was coming across like coherently. So I think she just like loses her shit when she's around Lala and Katie and them and loses all of her confidence.
I mean, I don't blame her. But you should have thicker skin if you're going to be around them.
And you should come up with better burns. Like she said to Lala, she's like, you bimbo mistress.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, girl.
Not your best.
No.
Actually, I don't even know what your best is.
Not that. So then this whole Sheena wedding room situation comes up again. So Sheena's booked this resort. One of her bridesmaids booked late. This resort is sold out of like all-inclusive packages. So they can't just like add this chick onto the room. And so Sheena tries to like work through Ariana to suggest to Katie that she'll buy Katie's room back for $1,000 so Katie can go stay at a different hotel. And Katie is like, no, actually, I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm going to stay at the same resort. Christina Kelly's already coming. I already paid my money. So I'm going to enjoy my nice Mexican vacation. And what are your thoughts?
I was just going to say, I want to know your thoughts on this.
Okay. My initial thoughts were Katie took a stand. It was an emotional stand. She now can't walk back from that stand, but now she looks like she's in the wrong because it's just a stupid, petty thing to do.
Yes.
But then...
But then you feel for her with the Schwartz shit that she had to endure for 12 fucking years.
That, and also when I put my producer hat on, if she didn't go, she'd be missing out on like 3 episodes.
Oh, yes. Okay, the flash forward to hindsight of them on the balcony was absolutely genius. VPR editors are one of the best.
I know, because Katie literally says, it's not like we're going to be on the balcony watching your wedding making fun of you. And then they flash forward 2 weeks later.
To literally they're literally doing in that.
Robes making fun of her.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have the same thoughts as you. And I think like all this was... producer planted, because the better way to have handled this was just Sheena texting Katie before and being like, hey, I know we're not on speaking terms and blah blah blah, my bridesmaid can't be there, I'm willing to pay you for your room.
Yeah,
but she had to do it at the party on camera and do it the way that she did, which was like, Tom, your ex-wife is so weird.
Oh my gosh. And then when Tom says, oh, maybe if I offer to get back together with her,
uncalled for, Tom.
Plus, like, dude, she divorced you. Like, why do you think that would that you have any leverage in this situation whatsoever?
So close, Tom.
Yeah.
Sheena is just such a pick me, and it pisses me off.
I know. I agree. And then so we see Tom again, like trying to talk sense in quotes to Katie. And Katie says in her confessional, she's like, you know what? This is like a problem our whole marriage. He would never stand up for me. I always thought it was because I was his wife. Now I realize it's not a wife problem. It's a Katie problem. And it's like 100%.
I hope she's getting validated every time this shit happens. But at the end, when he's standing with her on the side of the street while she's waiting for her Uber, that was so patronizing. He was like, just come back, bubs. You look nice. You look pretty.
Oh my like, God. The way he's still calling her Bubba.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't.
It's the entitlement for me.
For sure. It's like you're being an asshole, making her cry, and now you're out there being like, I can't believe you won't come back.
Yeah. Tom's never really gonna let himself see how he was the problem unless it's to pitch a sad story and gain sympathy.
I know. But this is, I think, an important lesson on people when they break up with someone. And they fear that they learned all their lessons from their relationship and they're going to move forward and change and grow and be better and be awesome for their next relationship. And then you fucking see them on this reality show.
Eyes keep getting wider.
The exact same shit.
No, I know. I hear you. I agree.
This is men. They don't change.
The tigers don't change their stripes.
Nope. Same, same.
Nope. But different. But yeah. Not.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's that on that.
Wait, but I want to ask what your thoughts are on emotional entitlement.
Okay. What the fuck is that? So, what the fuck is that?
Okay. So, same then. Because Tom says to Katie, I can't deal with the emotional entitlement. And I think Ariana says, I don't know what the fuck that is.
She said, I don't know what those two words mean when they're used next to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what he's trying to get across is that I think he's trying to call her selfish.
Right. And that's not what emotional entitlement is. What is emotional entitlement? You are entitled to your emotions.
Yeah. I think he was trying to say you're being selfish, but he tried to use two big words.
Is she being selfish or is she just finally sticking up for herself?
Yeah. I mean,
it's both.
The thing that I could see in this situation, if I was in this situation, is the taking the stand and not walking back, because man, I would be so embarrassed. It's like, I made this stand. I made a big noise about it. Everyone has seen me make a big noise about it. I'm not going to make them all be right by all of a sudden being like, okay, yes, you can have the room. Like, fucking no way. I'm going to stand in my bad decision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When was the last time you went to therapy?
I'm just saying.
What would happen is obviously I would have invited you to Mexico with me by this point. Like, you would be Christina Kelly for me. And then I'd hear these rumblings and Sheena would be like, I'll pay for your room. And I'd be like, you know what? Fine, Sheena. Like, have a good wedding. We'll do whatever we want elsewhere. and then walk away. And I likely wouldn't be invited back for another season, but at least I will have grown.
No. Yeah, you're right. You are right. I just think the show component has a big factor in this.
For sure.
Because that for sure is going to be like 2-3 episodes. And what are they going to do? Like the whole fucking crew's down there filming them. Are they going to film like Katie doing nothing, hanging out by herself, and Christine and Kelly back home? Probably not.
Yeah, unless they wanted to bring Stassi and Kristen Doughty into it.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
Okay, so then Summer House. Did you watch this week's episode?
I did.
I thought it was kind of boring.
It was. But before that, last week there was Queens of Bravo tweeted or posted about how there were comments saying Chris should no longer be on the show because he adds nothing and he's boring. And Queens of Bravo was just like, well, how many times are we going to do this to people of color and the new men on the show? Like, no one's saying this stuff about Carl, who literally is not contributing. Mm-hmm. And then Alex commented and said, bring more boys on the show. And I really never thought about it until he said that.
About bring more boys on?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like they've been making a thing about it this whole season, how Carl keeps on saying, like, there's only, like, two guys in this whole fucking season.
Now I'm, like, noticing that. Like, even this past episode, they talked about how they had more boys in the show. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, so I was wondering about that because I saw an interview that Amanda did that she said that it's very difficult to get men who want to be cast and want to be on this show. And she said, like, there's been so many instances where we've gotten so close, they've agreed, and then all of a sudden they back out at the last minute.
I wonder why.
I don't know. But that could be one component of it. The other component I was thinking about is the room situation, like how there's only 5 bedrooms. Like, do they feel weird making them have to be co-ed or, like, I don't know. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway.
But I think Chris is a good addition. Like, he's just as good as any of the other girls. Like, he's in the mix. I think we need to learn more about him. I think he needs to, like, be on for longer so he can have a longer character development. But he's definitely bringing more than Alex was. But also, why not just bring back Alex? Like,
yes. Also a good option. Not really, actually. Well, yeah,
I didn't love him, but give him another try.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris also needs to lay off this whole thing with Sierra and using the nurse thing.
He's just such a bad flirter. Like, that is so, like, standard to flirt with a nurse. Be like, oh, do you ever get attracted to your patients? Like, we're not in a porno, bro.
Or, like, do you like horses? Do you know how to ride horses?
Or other things.
Other horses?
He's just, man, get some new game.
It's cringe for sure.
Yeah.
He also looks like he could be Danielle's brother.
He does, for sure. I think he's hot, though.
It's the smile.
He's got a great smile.
Yeah.
So this episode was kind of focused on the Danielle and Robert relationship downfall. Like, clearly they're having issues. They never see each other. Mm-hmm. And then the Danielle and Lindsay tension about the Carl and Lindsay relationship. A lot of it was focused on, like, are they doing well or is she suppressing her true self to be with Carl?
We also see a little glimpse into Sierra and Gabby potential drama.
Yeah. I feel like with the Sierra Gabby thing, my sense from Sierra's confessionals is that she feels like she can't relate to Gabby because Gabby is very wealthy. And mm-hmm. I think they grew up very differently. And I think that makes it really hard
for women. Yeah.
Yeah. For Sierra to relate to her because mm-hmm. they keep on adding in all these comments about Gabby. Like, I don't know if they're purposely doing it or if it's just that prolific that it fits in all the time, but comments about her, like, using her parents' money and her parents' credit card and all these things that clearly show that she was wealthy. And I think, like, Sierra and Maya were talking about that last week. So I feel like the weird dynamic between them stems from that.
I agree. So I just wonder if they're ever going to, like, have a conversation about it.
Yeah. Like, Gabby's intuition is entirely on the ball. I think Sierra was kind of lying when she was talking to Danielle and was like, you know, it's just too surface. I don't think it's too surface. I think you haven't tried to get deep.
Yeah. I think she hasn't tried to get deep because maybe she's already seen what she needed to see.
Yeah. No, I don't fault her for it. Like, if it's – she's not your your type of person. She's not your type of person.
Yeah, because I think I would feel the same way as Sierra in that situation.
Yeah.
So, like, why waste your time? She's already, like, well, like, Sierra has her spot in Summer House. She doesn't need to try to be anyone's friend.
Yeah, and the other people are welcoming her, so it's not like she's outcast. And it's not like she's being outwardly mean. She's just like, we don't click.
Yeah, like, Maya was being outcasted, and that opened a door for Sierra, but that's just not the case with Gabby. So
yeah, I agree. It was interesting to me when Lindsay and the girls were out for dinner, and she's like, you know, I don't drink very much when I'm around Carl, so I wanted to be out here tonight, and I want to turn up so I don't have to censor myself. And when she used the word censor myself, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, that's a buzzword for something.
But I did agree with her, though, when they were like, you know, Lindsay, like, you really used to, like, turn up. You used to, like, love to go out and party and everything. And then she's like, yeah, you know, I drink less around Carl because of his sobriety. Isn't that a good thing? And I was like, yeah, like, why isn't that a good thing? Like, why is everyone, like, poo-pooing her for living a more sober lifestyle?
Yeah, so I don't think they're so much doing it for living a sober lifestyle. I think they just see her suppress, like, what she actually wants to do, like we saw last week on the episode for going to Montauk. So I think they're just trying to say, like, don't lose sight of yourself.
Yeah, I just keep wondering if it's defensive. Like, oh, she does for sure. I keep wondering, though, if it's what she actually wants to do, or if she's just evolved and changed and that's not something she's interested in anymore.
I can't figure that out either, and my guess is, like, I'm leaning more towards she hasn't evolved because she does get defensive about it.
Yeah. Like, I think she's faking it and she's getting upset that people are calling her out on faking it. Like, I think she wants to be that person who's grown and evolved and changed and different, but it's a thin layer of ice.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much it.
Just Danielle and Robert. Robert, like, needing to work all the time, I understand, but it seems like he's checked out.
Yeah, I agree.
I understand being stressed and busy and not being able to see your significant other all the time, like, we deal with that, but he just seems checked out.
Yeah, and I would also I get that it's because they're filming a TV show, but I would have been probably Danielle being like, come to fucking bed, like, please spend at least, like, this little alone time that we have in bed together. Oh, you 100%
would.
Yeah. Like, that would not... I wouldn't even put myself in that situation. Because if I knew that I was going to get triggered by it and upset, I just wouldn't put myself in that situation.
But you're filming, Laura. You're filming.
I wouldn't invite him to come. Like, I'd rather him not come.
Yeah, and then I would get some texts from you sitting in the closet.
Yeah, crying, like, myself to sleep.
I'm canceling my birthday. And I'd be like, no, don't do this to us. Do this to me. Speaking of birthdays,
yours is coming up.
Just saying.
Month and a half, baby.
This is the best time of the year. Spring is springing.
Spring is almost sprung over here.
There's a spring in my step. And we'll leave it on that.
That brings us to the close of another episode of Pup Therapy. So, see y'all next week. Are you not going to say bye to our friends?
Oh. Bye.